Nehemiah chapter 5. We continue our study from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 5. Make me successful, Lord. That's our prayer as we make this study. Make me successful. And as I pointed out before, the successful that we're talking about is not, Lord, make me a millionaire or a billionaire. It's, Lord, make me successful in your kingdom. Successful in kingdom work. A spiritual success. And today, our prayers make me successful by helping me to make a difference. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19. We're just going to read this last verse for now, but you may want to hold your place because we're going to be referring to several different places in this chapter. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Let us pray. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come to your house and worship you. And God, we ask now that you would clear our...
Make a difference, or making a difference. This text that we read, the verse 19 that we just read, was Nehemiah's prayer at the close of a day or a time that was very challenging. This chapter, if you read, and I would encourage you to do so, it's one challenge after another. The people are distressed, and Nehemiah is stressed. But at the end of this chapter, I'm just amazed by this prayer that he prayed. And I'm going to read my translation, okay? Because my translation helps me to understand it a little better. But my translation of verse 19 would be, "Remember me, my God, for every good thing which I have done on behalf of this people." Now let that soak in just a minute. Remember me, my God, for every good thing which I've done on behalf of this people. You see, the people were better off because Nehemiah was their governor, was their leader. The people were better off because of the things that Nehemiah was doing. He made a difference. Okay? And not only were the people better off, but Nehemiah was better off. At the end of this chapter, as we read this sentence, there's a sense of satisfaction, a feeling of accomplishment. That idea that, you know, have you ever come to that point where you sat back and you thought, well, maybe my life did account for something? That's kind of the mentality that he's praying this prayer. And that's the challenge I want to give you today. I want you to take this message personally, okay? Because God has made it personal for me this week. I've studied this. You know, some messages you study and you dig and you get the message. God gives it to you. And boy, Thursday afternoon about 2 o'clock, I was still studying and digging. Usually by Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock, this, you know, Sunday message is ready to go. But it dawned on me, and the Lord showed me this week that, you know, he showed me the message. It wasn't the studying and the digging. It was you're living the message this week. And so I've taken it personal. I want to challenge you to take it personal. I want to challenge you to ask yourself the question, when you lay down at night, are you able to pray, Lord, my God, remember me for every good thing that I've done for this, your people? I want you to ask yourself today, whose life is made better because of your life? I think we need that. I think we need to experience that. We need to feel good about our ministry. We need to feel like we're here for more than just to take up space and breathe good air. Every child of God needs to feel like he's making a difference. And if you don't feel like you're making a difference, you're empty inside. You're missing something. And the first way to have this feeling of making a difference is, number one, you've got to get involved. And involved in something that is beyond your own existence. Okay? The reason I say that is because it is so very easy for us to focus on our own life. Okay? We're very busy between our families and work and raising children and doing what we've got to do. And we get so focused on, I've got to do all these things, that all we can see is our life. But at the same time, as we get so focused in that direction, there's a world that we never see, that we're never even aware of. And Nehemiah, in chapter 5, kind of stops and he listens and he hears the cry of the crisis, the cry of helpless people who cannot help themselves. I want to read verses 1 through 4 with you of this chapter. It says, "And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against the Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, 'We, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live.' There were also some who said, 'We've mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine.' There were also those who said, 'We've borrowed money for the king's tax in our land, or on our lands and vineyards.'" Hear the cries of the crisis. You see, in Nehemiah's day, chapter 5 here, there was a famine. Now, famine means a shortage of food, right? But not only was there a famine, the people were dedicating themselves to building the wall. I mean, that has been their life, is rebuilding that wall of Jerusalem. And so with their work being focused on rebuilding that wall, their work of making a living is probably suffered. And what happens when there's no income? When there's no income, I've found that there's still an outgo. Have you figured that out? It doesn't matter how much you make, you're still going to get those bills at the end of the month, aren't you? Well, that's kind of the same thing that's going on here. They're out of money. And so they don't even have money to buy food for their family. So they mortgage their property. They mortgage their houses. And they buy food. But then when that's gone, they can't pay back the mortgage. So what happens? They repossess their houses and their lands. And now all they're left with is their children. And, you know, they were living in a day when they would actually literally mortgage their children. And if they couldn't pay back the loan, their children would be sold into slavery. And they were at that point of just complete, what do we do? Have you ever been there? I mean, when you can't pay the bills, when it just doesn't look like you're going to survive. That's where they were. And there were a group, the nobles, there that says, "Oh, but we're here to help. We'll loan you money." So they loaned them money, of course, at a significant interest rate that they could not repay. And so they wind up losing everything. Okay? But Nehemiah had a heart to do something about it. Okay? Nehemiah was not just, as we read here, Nehemiah was not angry. He was very angry. It upset him that the Jews would treat their own people that way. And he took a stand and said, "Look, this has got to stop, and it's got to stop now." And he basically told these rich nobles that y'all are not going to do this anymore. You're not going to abuse the people anymore. You're not going to take advantage of them anymore. He had a chance and he took it to change people's lives. I'm reminded of the schemes today that are out there to take advantage of people. And that's what we're going on with the children of Israel here. Schemes of taking advantage. You know, you look around and, you know, they advertise on TV these payday loans. "We can get you $1,000 today. We're here to help you." Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, they're lying to you. They're not here to help you. They're here to stick it to you with a significant charge, you know. And the credit card companies, they're here for you. Baloney. That's a Greek word, you know that? No, it's not. But they're here for you, and they charge you. "Oh, we won't charge you anything for, you know, no interest for 6 months or whatever." And then they shoot it through the roof upward to about 30%. But they're here to help. You know, I figured out that we may not be able to fix all the oppression in the land. But I do realize that we, as God's people, can change lives by helping those who are oppressed. I mean, stop and think about it. I said this is a personal message, and it is. And this week, I was introduced to a group of people right here in Russellville called the Main Street Mission. And we went over there Wednesday, and we served those people because every day at noon, they serve a noon meal for hungry people in our community. You know what? After I thought about it, you know, the thing that I realized is that there are a lot of people in this community I have not been exposed to yet. There are literally hungry people in Russellville, Arkansas. Did you know that? No, not in Russ. Yes. I mean, I've been so busy pastoring a church and having my own life that there's a group of people that are oppressed and hurting that I hadn't even met yet. I thought, my goodness, you're way too busy, Doug Hambrick. Because there is a cry of hungry people. And not only do they feed daily meals, they feed 75 to 100 people every day, but once a week they give out grocery boxes to families who are hungry. But this past Wednesday, they didn't give out grocery boxes. And do you know why? Because they didn't have the groceries to give out. How sad is that? Now, this isn't a rake you over the... You know, this isn't an attack. This is a make you stop and think. Let's all look around at what's existing right here in our hometown that we so easily ignore because we're so busy living our own lives. We've got to be able to hear the cries of the crisis. Those people who are hurting, and not only here, but we've got to do something about it. I want to encourage you. I'm going to tell you what's coming. You want to know what's coming? We're going to have a food drive next month. Okay? I can't stand thinking about hungry people not having food to eat. Okay? That bugs me. Now, you may say, well, Brother Doug, there are people who take advantage, and there may be people who take advantage, but it doesn't change the fact they're hungry. And if they're hungry, we need to feed them. Okay? So next month, what we're going to do is we're going to have a food drive. And when you, every Sunday, we're going to ask you to bring food, canned food. All right? And listen, don't bring a can. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'll spend 75.9 cents at Walmart and get a can of corn. I don't know if that's what corn costs or not. But you hear what I'm saying. I'm saying let's take advantage of the chance that God has given us to change lives. Let's buy a case of corn and bring it in here. Let's fill this place. And for the month of October, every Sunday, let's fill this place with groceries that on Monday morning we can carry over to the Main Street Mission. And then when you lay down at night, then you will know I have done something that changed the life of somebody else. And you can pray that prayer, God, remember me for the benefit that I have been for this, your people. Do you get to pray that prayer very much? That's the challenge of the message. And listen, Main Street Mission may not be your thing, okay? I realize everybody in Russellville is not going to support the Main Street Mission. I understand that. But let me offer you this. You need your Main Street Mission. Something so that at the end of the day, you know you have made a difference. See, that's the drawback with today's Christianity. People don't, I mean, we don't stop and think. We want to live right and we want to do right, but we don't stop and think we're here to make a difference. And we are. Here to make a difference. So think about that. Pray about that. We're also going to regularly schedule serving at the Main Street Mission. If you'd like to help with that, tremendous blessing. Amen. Those who went, it'll be in the midday, and you'll see schedules coming out for that. But get involved in something that's beyond your life, okay? So that when you lay down, you have the peace of mind that you have made a difference. Then we go on. Then give of yourself, okay? Give of yourself. What are we talking about? We're talking about personal sacrifice. You know what sacrifice is? Okay, that means giving something up so somebody else can benefit. Nehemiah was the governor here. And as governor of Jerusalem, he had the authority, even the right, to collect taxes. And the taxes he collected would have been for his pay. I don't want to read about that. In Nehemiah, same chapter, chapter 5, verse 14. Moreover, from that time, what time? The time he was appointed governor. From the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. And at my table, and grab this, okay? He didn't collect the taxes that he was entitled to. I can see it now, you know. He could have said, well, I gave up my good job back there with the king as the king cupbearer. The least y'all can do is pay me. But he didn't. He threw all that aside. Personal sacrifice. He wasn't in it to benefit himself. But that wasn't all he did, okay? Then he says, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers besides those who came to us from nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once every 10 days, an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions because the bondage was so heavy on the people. Wow, not only did he not tax the people like he could have, he adopted people or took responsibility for people and was feeding 150 Jews a day plus foreigners out of his own pocket. Can you imagine? How many of you have raised teenagers? You ever seen a teenage boy eat? You feel like you're sacrificing doing that grocery bill? I say that because I've been there and done that. But listen, here's a man that's every day feeding above 150 people, taking personal responsibility, paying for it out of his personal finances, so that those people would have. I just find that awesome. A man that's willing to go that far to sacrifice. And never does he say, I mean, there's no begrudging it. He's all out doing whatever it takes, as Beth sung a while ago, to see that this wall of Jerusalem gets rebuilt, even if it cost him. That's personal sacrifice that I'm talking about. Okay? Do you realize sacrifice changes lives? Okay? It was Jesus that sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. Has that changed your life? Amen. Our sacrifices changes the lives of people. I'm talking about giving sacrificially, and I'm not talking about the offering plate. You want to know what the easiest part of giving for me is? It's writing a check. That's no problem. Yeah. Why? Because I don't have to get my hands dirty writing a check. I can just throw money at it and it'll be all right. But that's not, and listen, we're supposed to give of our finances, but you know what else we're supposed to give? We're supposed to give of our time and our talents. I mean, you want to know the most personal thing you can give is your time. You see, that's giving a piece of your life. Therein is the challenge today. Sacrifice. Give of yourself. Okay, again, let's get personal. Awana. How many of you have seen Wednesday night, have been back there? Would you just say amen? Amen. Amen. Boy, it is awesome, okay? It is absolutely awesome to see those young people running around back there and learning the Word of God. I mean, they're learning enough junk out in the world. Isn't it neat that God has given us an opportunity to teach them something that's going to change their lives? Isn't that great? As Brother Michael mentioned at the beginning of services, we're knocking on the door of having 100 kids that age, fifth grade and below. Absolutely awesome. God is blessing. But you know what? With blessing comes stewardship. And the challenge is this, that you give of your time and go back there and make a difference in the life of a child. Amen. I mean, it's so easy to stand off and look and say, oh, God's great. Oh, He is great. You're right. But I want to ask you, how are you getting your hands dirty? Whose life are you making a difference in? I challenge you to give the most precious, probably, commodity that you have, your time, to make a difference in the lives of kids. And you know what's so neat? What's really cool is you don't know who you're teaching. And by the way, you think, oh, well, that's too hard. I can't do that. Listen, it's not hard. I promise you. It's not anything that you can't do. But you know what's really cool? What's really neat is you may be teaching the next president of the United States of America. Oh, no, Brother Doug. You don't know. Okay? I mean, the one we got grew up somewhere. Right? Just maybe if someone had taken time, we could have made a difference. And you know what? I'm serious. You never know. You may be teaching the next Billy Graham. And I tell you what, you may have some doctrinal differences or whatever with Billy Graham, but a lot of people came to know the Lord under his ministry. Okay? You may be teaching the next governor of Arkansas. You see, these leadership positions have got to come from somewhere. My goal, my desire, my hope, and let all our prayer be that we educate the youth of Russellville in such a manner that wherever God places them, they're ready to serve in a manner that'll glorify Him. Oh, listen, I've been so proud of the spiritual growth that's been taking place here. And I'm not talking about numbers growth. I'm talking about spiritual growth. People stepping out and doing more and getting out of their comfort zones. They're doing that more than they ever have before. Oh, but listen, we need more people willing to make a difference. More people willing to get involved. More people willing to give of themselves so that the kingdom of God will grow. I promise you this, you go into Awana and you become a listener or a leader, whatever that's needed. At the end of Wednesday night, you can lay down with the prayer, Lord, remember me for the benefit, the good that I've done this, your children. Don't you want to be able to pray that prayer? How many days at the end of the day have you said, you just prayed, oh, Lord, thank you for getting me through the day, and it was meaningless? Oh, that's got to change. We don't want to live meaningless lives. Like I said, you know, and I understand. I've drawn out two examples here and understand that's what it is. The Main Street Mission and Awana, they're two examples. You must have that place where you're making a difference. And if you don't have that, then you need to open your eyes and look for that place where you can make a difference. I promise you, you will not be happy as a child of God until you do. Then finally, let's commit to consistency. If we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to be consistent. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 16. We skipped that a while ago, and we're going to come back to it now. Indeed also, he said, indeed also, I continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. Indeed, I continued the work on the wall. You know the one thing that is consistent about Nehemiah? Is that he's always going to be found building that wall. Day in, day out, Nehemiah and his servants are going to be found serving, building that wall. If they want to know where Nehemiah is, he's on the wall. Okay? What an example of consistency and commitment that he was. Here's my challenge to you. You are an example. If you want to be successful in kingdom work, you have to be consistent in kingdom work. People need to see you. Our children need to see your consistency. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, first of all, those things that God leads you to become involved with. If you become involved with a ministry, be consistent in that ministry. Okay? Don't show up. Don't you just hate that when somebody just doesn't show up for something? You can say amen to that. I know that's not just a preacher thing. You know? Man, be consistent. Don't just change your mind and, you know, well, I don't feel like going. No, be consistent. Be committed so that everyone, when they look at you, they know that you're going to be there serving no matter what. Be consistent. Build the wall. That's Nehemiah's goal. Nehemiah along the way is making difference in the lives of those people. And along the way, or when this wall is finished building, it'll be a legacy that'll be passed along well beyond his years. Isn't that what we want? A legacy that's passed to our children. And not just to our children, but our grandchildren and their grandchildren's children and so on down the line. Listen, at best, we're here from 70 to 100, you know, 80, 90 years, whatever. I want to pass a legacy of God down to people that live long after I'm gone. And the way I do that is by being consistent in my service and the kingdom work for Him today. Are you consistent? Listen, one of these days, you're going to look back. And when you look back, will you be able to pray, Lord, remember me for the benefit that I've been to this people? What a prayer. What a prayer of satisfaction. And what a life of difference. I challenge you. I challenge you. Take this message personally. Okay? Take Nehemiah's prayer personally. Make a difference. You may be here tonight or this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, the walk to success or the journey of success begins by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Are you saved? Listen, we're all going to die one day. You know that? If you agree with that, say amen. I mean, this life's not going to last forever. We're all going to leave here and we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Heaven is for those who have called upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hell is for those who have refused Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, you've got to make a decision today. And listen, to decide not to decide is to refuse. Okay? If you say, I'll do it later, you just refuse Jesus. You said next week, next month, next year, when I get my life right, you're not ever going to get your life right. Jesus has to do that for you, okay? You're here today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you, I plead with you. He's proven His love for you by giving His life upon the cross of Calvary and dying for your sins. Now, will you receive Him as your Savior by calling upon Him, asking Him to save you? That's it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You have to ask for it. If you need to be saved this morning, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I would invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and your life just hadn't been counting for much lately. And when you lay down at night, it's been all about me, 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 and self, 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 and, you know, my life this and my life that. Oh, listen, there's no satisfaction in that. Maybe it's time for rededication, for a renewed commitment. Maybe it's time for you to make a difference. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and learn of your word. We thank you for the example that Nehemiah was. Lord, I pray. Now at this part of the service, Lord, we would be still and listen to you. And that as you convict, that we'll respond. As you lead, we'll follow. I pray now for those who have never made a profession of faith, who have never committed to you for salvation. I pray that today's the day they'll call upon you for salvation. Lord, I pray for those who are already saved, for the time that we've wasted not making a difference. I pray that today's the day that we will change, so that when we lay down tonight, we can pray, remember me, my God, for every good thing that I have done for this people. In Jesus' name I pray.